Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
When some Republican women, congresswomen like Lauren Boebert, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, did not give in to his pressure of not signing, he brought Lauren Boebert into the Situation Room to pressure her into caving on not voting for that bill.
All right, this is quite a sight to see. If you've ever wanted to watch our Vice President J.D. Vance get grilled by a roundtable of 4 to 5 people at once, then you are going to enjoy this episode. I want to present to you all the full 24-minute segment in which J.D. Vance gets grilled by the hosts of The View on multiple different issues, including inflation, Donald Trump's comments about loving inflation. They talk about the Epstein files. They talk about the Iran war. And J.D. Vance even gets asked about Black Americans and Donald Trump and the Republican Party's treatment of Black Americans. And J.D. Vance just tries to play dumb and tries to insult the people on the panel. He is not received well by either the audience or the panelists, and this might be one of the most disastrous appearances I've seen from him. I've watched the majority of it, but what I want to do is kind of just start it from the beginning and live react to it with you all. I won't interject too much, but there are key moments where I will interject to provide some context. So we have J.D. Vance surrounded by 6 hosts of The View. I said 5 a second ago, but it looks like there are 6 people surrounding J.D. Vance. It does not go well for him. It also kind of highlights his lack of political intuition, right? I mean, if Trump were in this scenario, he would be saying equally as dumb stuff, but it wouldn't look bad for him optically because Trump kind of just steamrolls through everybody in a really arrogant, aggressive, and narcissistic manner. J.D. Vance doesn't have that ability, and it looks awful for him. So without further ado, let's check this out. If you appreciate these breakdowns on the Adam Mockler feed and you want to boost this message in particular, make sure you drop a like below. You can also subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. We have a debate show, episode 1, releasing tomorrow on Wednesday. And then every single Wednesday, we'll bring on a MAGA, a conservative, and we will debate them. It'll be great. Comment debate show if you're ready for that. Let's just start this from the beginning. Good luck, everybody.
So Alyssa, this is a show of MAGA Republicans, right? That's what my media team told me. Okay, good.
Well, we'll find out. I think you have the first question, Alyssa.
Yes.
Sonny.
Okay. Mr. Vice President, according to a new report from the New York Times, you were the leading voice behind the scenes to release the Epstein files, and we applaud you for that. And you warned top officials, including top DOJ officials, at strategy meetings taking place inside the Situation Room. We understand that there are tapes of those meetings, that this was a huge problem for the base. The report says you even floated having Tucker Carlson interview Ghislaine Maxwell to clear the president's name, but you were rebuffed by your people. Why?
Well, I'd say, first of all, don't believe everything that you read in any newspaper, whether it's a right-leaning paper or a left-leaning paper, because as you guys know, well, there are things that are true, things that are false, and things that are totally missing context. Well, here's what I'll say. So, number one, I am, frankly, kind of a conspiracy theory on the Epstein stuff, and that story says that that's one of the things that's true, is that some people called me a conspiracy theory on the Epstein stuff. And I love Susie, but absolutely, she thinks I'm a conspiracy theorist on the Epstein stuff, because I think that it's crazy that you had this guy who is clearly a sex predator who was hanging out with a lot of very wealthy and powerful people. Like, that really bothered me. I don't know what's there, of course. Nobody knows exactly what happened unless you were there, but that really bothered me, and I wanted to have full transparency. What I disagree with is the idea that the White House wasn't committed to full transparency. We have to remember, like, I was inside the room when some of these decisions were made. The Epstein Files Transparency Act, the one that the president signed, the one that led to all these files that we're seeing, the emails, by the way, again, sorry, Joe, I do have to defend my boss. I know you guys don't always appreciate this, but, you know, one of the things you see in the Epstein emails is that Jeffrey Epstein hated Donald Trump. and that Donald Trump literally reported Jeffrey Epstein to the police. Okay, that's one of the things that came out of these files.
They were best friends for about a decade. And remember, he signed that Transparency Act under duress when some Republican women, congresswomen like Lauren Boebert, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, did not give in to his pressure of not signing. He brought Lauren Boebert into the Situation Room to pressure her into caving on not voting for that bill.
So let me respond to that. So
that's all true.
Let me respond to that. So number one is, yes, Donald Trump, and he said this, he knew Jeffrey Epstein back in the 1980s. He also threw Jeffrey Epstein out of his club when he found out he was a creep and reported him to the police. That's something that the media often misses when it reports this story. They tell
the timeline of this just doesn't make sense. Donald Trump was signing photographs, autographs to Jeffrey Epstein in the early 2000s and didn't kick him out of Mar-a-Lago until years and years after everybody knew what Jeffrey Epstein was up to.
The fact that they knew each other in the 80s.
I mean, Jeffrey Epstein had already groomed multiple girls directly out of the Mar-a-Lago spa, Virginia Giuffre being one of them.
Which the president himself admits, they ignore the fact that he narked on him to the police and led ultimately to Jeffrey Epstein's downfall. To that point, Anna, the Republican Party.
It's one of the things that led to
law enforcement investigation. But on the point
and
that you made.
It was allegedly over a real estate deal that they got into a fight over.
But the email says, actually.
They didn't just know each other. Let's just be truthful and transparent here.
He's in a lot of pictures.
They were incredibly close friends.
He reported him to the police. That's what I'm saying. That is objective. That is objectively true.
But
Anna made another point that I think, Whoopi, if I may, because Anna made a very important point.
You know, before he makes this, I just want to point out what they were talking about earlier is a New York Times article written by Jonathan Swan and Maggie Haberman. And right now, the Trump administration believes that Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan have access to recordings, secret recordings of the Situation Room meetings where J.D. Vance, Trump, and the rest of the admin debated about what to do on the Epstein files. I will say, if these recordings do exist in the form that they have been described, and it's J.D. Vance, Trump, Susie Wiles, Caroline Leavitt, all of these people arguing about how to cover up the Epstein files, that is game over for this administration. That is absolutely game over for this administration. Worse than Watergate, which we already know, but the general public will then hear them talking about covering this up. Lord have mercy.
This question about, did Donald Trump release these files only under duress from Republicans? And Anna, you know the Republican Party probably better than I do. The idea that Donald Trump runs around afraid of Republican congressmen as opposed to the other way around is kind of crazy.
What was the bipartisan? Republicans and Democrats.
But because the Republicans control the House and the Senate, particularly the Senate, you need the Republican sign-off. What the president did is, look, I will say this. Again, I was in there in the meetings. He was very frustrated that the Democrats were making this about him when he's like, look, I threw the guy out of my club. I am the guy who reported him to the police, or one of the people who reported him to the police. The president was frustrated about that, absolutely. But he eventually came to say, you know what? Let's just get everything out there. Let's have this out in the public. And he actually called the senators. I was there. He called the senators and said, you know what? Pass this bill. I'll sign it. And that was it.
This is such BS slop. I'm going to let the women at the table actually take over because there's nothing I can add. They do a great job here. But the idea that Donald Trump willingly released the Epstein files or signed the Epstein File Transparency Act is BS. As they pointed out, he did it under duress after like five different Republican women were saying that they were going to out everybody.
Let me follow up briefly.
Yes.
It sounds like you believed that there would be men in the files who would be held accountable. Rightfully so. And the American people are with you on this. Why haven't we seen the release of over 2.5 million additional Epstein file documents? It seems like you are someone that is on the right side of history on this.
So we have released, I think it's 6 million files or 6 million pages of documents. My understanding is the 2.5 million, Sonny, I'm going to check on this to make sure, but my understanding is that a lot of those are duplicates of things that have already been released.
We're not holding
anything back. Some of those things are like the courts have to order you to release them. So that was one thing that we confronted. You talk about these Situation Room meetings is, you know, there was a big bunch of files that existed, I think, in the Southern District of New York, or maybe it was some other jurisdiction. But we were like, we want to release these files, but you need the court approval in order to release the files. Sometimes we would apply to release the files and the courts would say no. So those particular documents, I would need to actually like know exactly what you're talking about.
3.5 million documents were released, and my understanding is 2.5 million have not been
those released. May have been the ones that are under court suit. I don't know what the documents you're talking about, but I'm telling you,
let me go to break.
Woof. This is brutal, brutal, brutal for J.D. Vance. We'll go on the other side of this commercial break and come back here.
Explain your evolution similarly on Trump, from calling him America's Hitler to America's best hope. Now, as someone who has admitted to chasing ambition, which you write about in the book, in the past, but now says your faith brought you back to your priorities, I have to kind of use your own words that sit with me from 2016.
Sure.
Fellow Christians, everyone is watching when we apologize for this man. Lord, help us. And I think about that all the time, because as a fellow Christian, that is something that weighs on my heart as I watch this country and the leadership at the top, because it's also something I have to explain to my kids, which I know we also share this sure. idea that our greatest privilege and responsibility are these young people we're raising.
Of course.
So help me find the words to explain to my children what they're witnessing right now.
Well, you know, first of all, it's been well covered that I was a critic of Donald Trump back in 2015 and 2016. Now, obviously, I'm sitting here as the Vice President of the United States in the Trump administration. Well, Joy, little humility, actually. I think
that... Oh, his voice cracked during that. A little humility.
I think that when you make predictions and those predictions turn out to be false, you got to ask yourself, well, what made me wrong about that? What did I not understand or not appreciate? For example, I said that Donald Trump's economic policies would not lead to wage growth. They did in the first term. That was actually a major, major thing. I said that we couldn't bring back any of those factory jobs because I kind of had given into this idea that those jobs were disappearing. But actually, Donald Trump, you saw a manufacturing boom during that administration. So there's a certain point where you say, you know, I made predictions about this. I ended up being wrong. Yeah. And in politics and anything, I think it's important to just say, you know what? I got some things wrong, and I was wrong about him. He was a very successful president. It's one of the reasons why I've been so supportive of him.
But you go on in the book to explain that good policy was maybe one of your justifications, but the quote and when you tweeted that or X'd it was not about policy. It was what Christians were willing to excuse. And that's the part I can't get past. What are you willing to excuse in the name of power?
Well, I would say fundamentally that one of the things I underappreciated about Donald Trump is that so many of the things that people said about him weren't actually true. Again, you talk about humility, okay? So I see Donald Trump, I see a clip of him, or I see even not even a clip of him, but reporting about something that he said, and I take it at face value. For example, let's just go back to one of the most controversial things Donald
Trump... Are we using Trump and humility in the same sentence?
Trump said during the first term that I was wrong, during the first campaign, is that I was led to believe by the stories. I read stories that said Donald Trump said that all Mexicans were rapists. He never said that. What he said...
Bro... Come on, every single time Donald Trump mentions the word immigration, he always links it with drug, rape, and crime. He's trying to play a word association game.
What he said is that the certain South American countries, Central American countries, were releasing criminals into our country, including Mexico. By the way, that was objectively true.
Okay, here we go. The Trump translator once more trying to downplay everything Trump says ever.
So there it's not no so much Christians.
Fidel Castro did that in 1980 with the Mariel boat lift. There have been many, many journalists, including CNN, where you used to work and be my colleague, that have tried to find evidence of that. There is no evidence that Maduro was releasing people from insane asylums or jails like Fidel Castro did do. This was made up, and we just can't, you know, accept it without pushing back.
Anna, we know that there were people who were released from prisons who were encouraged to come into the United States.
It wasn't like it was in the Mariel, Mr. Vice President. It wasn't where it was like a purposeful release, open up the jails, open up the insane asylums, and let people flood Florida. I lived through that in Miami.
If I don't know how you define support or not support, but if people are encouraged to come into our country after having spent time in prison by their own governments, I think that's a problem.
But, Vice President, can I just add one more thing? Because you do speak about immigration at length in this book.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I believe, as a Christian, I can tell my kids why it's important to have borders. I get that. There are laws, there are resources. I get all that things. It's much harder to explain when I see someone dragged out of a house or wrongly taken to a thing that isn't a violent criminal.
This is very, very well said. The reality is, borders are important. There is no Democratic politician in power right now or ever that has gone on stage and said, we should remove the border and have open borders. I don't believe that. I'm sure that most of you in the audience don't believe that. However, we believe in a humane immigration policy in which people who love this country, are net taxpayers, and want to contribute to this country can come over. My grandpa moved from Syria in the 80s, and you know, the people around him and his family have become doctors, heart surgeons, have built a beautiful thing back in Indiana. I have other friends who have immigrated from Mexico and have bought a house back in my home state of Indiana. Think about the amount of people that can build towards a better country as long as you care. Now, does that mean we should let anybody and everybody into the country with zero vetting whatsoever? No, that's not realistic. That's not realistic at all. I think there should be a baseline level of vetting to make sure the people that come over are contributing. That's not what J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are doing. They're saying, let's shut down the border. Let's cancel all of the applications. Let's make it impossible for people to come over here to work by making H-1B visas $100,000. And an interior policy, they're saying, hey, what if we just drag people out of their homes, violate the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, any amendment regarding due process or having privacy is being completely destroyed by this administration. To continue.
It's a little more nuanced as a parent to try to say when someone's referred to as vermin or scum, when I teach them in school about people that have done that before, but this is different. It's very hard as a parent and a Christian to say both things.
And you say in the book, you talk about this, you talk about this struggle, this internal struggle in the book, and you talk about moral trade-offs that result in favoring a strict migration policy without dehumanizing anyone. But listen, over 50 people have died in ICE custody. There are thousands of children, 6,200, that are being held in places like Dilley Detention Center. The people that have visited those detention centers, I don't know if you have, talk about the subhuman, infrahuman conditions, the lack of clean water, the lack of medical attention, the lack of education. I would urge you as a Christian and as a father to visit those detention centers where the children are being held and make sure that the conditions...
Wow. How come The View is holding a more intense interview with J.D. Vance's feet to the fire than any mainstream media journalist has done in a while? I understand that a lot of the people at this table are professional journalists, political analysts, and have been doing this for a while, but it's kind of an indictment on our media ecosystem. We could have CBS's most primetime interviewer talk to J.D. Vance, and they still wouldn't be able to make these exact points.
So the values that we hold in this country.
So you guys have thrown a lot at me, and I see we got 30 seconds left here. But let me say, number one,
you're the vice president, you can go long.
I'd like to pick up on this theme because I think it's really important. We do have to strike a balance, of course, between enforcing our laws. We don't want to dehumanize people. That is the balance. That look, law enforcement. What I'd say about this: law enforcement is always inherently not a very pretty process, right? Especially when you're dealing sometimes with violent people, with people who are resisting arrest. Some of the people that I've been told by the media were completely peaceful, had never violated any laws. You actually look into the record and you find out that those people were actually being violent, or they did have a criminal record. They had a sex traffic conviction.
Don't have criminal records. The majority of people that ICE is rounding up and taking out of their homes from their families, they're separating families.
Have no criminal record.
They're using children as bait.
But the majority
are not criminal.
But can I respond to that? Guys, let me just say this. Okay. So you talk about the children. Here's what I'd say. Do we know that during the last administration, we had tens of thousands of children who were sex trafficked by the cartels, who were brought into our country in profoundly dangerous and predatory conditions?
Let's talk about this administration.
But here's the point. Unless you enforce the border, you invite that kind of conduct. You think that our immigration policies are inhumane based on the reporting of one person with a political bias. What I'm telling you is that it's inhumane to allow cartels to sex traffic people across our border.
Hold on.
He is getting very, very flustered here. By the way, big shout out to Aaron Rupar for providing the entire 24-minute segment of this. It's getting more and more brutal for J.D. Vance. I thought the Epstein part was hard for him to maneuver around, but he really does seem to be on his back foot when it comes to immigration. Like, there is a limitation of TV, and you only have about 30 to 40 seconds to make your point, but even in those 30 to 40 seconds, he has no control. He has no confidence. He's kind of trying to BS his way through. In a way, and this is going to make some people mad, in a way, it kind of shows you how Donald Trump's shameless, brute force, aggressive manner has carried him this far. Because if Trump were in this situation, he probably would never put himself in this situation. If he were, he would quite literally be brute forcing his way through this table and not allowing any of the women to speak, which is obviously awful. But his media strategy is more dominant than J.D. Vance's, and it's a huge gap in J.D. Vance's like political strategy.
What did black people do to this administration that has allowed it to really stigmatize folks of color? And you know how hard it is. You have family.
Sure.
So when you see, you know, things, the Emmett Till stuff coming down, or them doing all kinds of removal of information of black heroes, how does that sit with you?
Well, what exactly are you talking about, Whoopi? Because I know Emmett Till was Emmett Till was the kid.
I want to know
what
you,
she's.
You don't know
I
what
respond
I'm talking
to your
about.
Actual point.
So in a lot of the
museums,
there's so many.
They're strategically, systematically, and surgically erasing black American history throughout the country by, you know, firing black generals, removing certain museums or monuments or honorable statues for black soldiers or black people who contributed to science or this country. I mean, it's very clear what's happening.
No, where they're taking down the actual history that happened in this country. Slavery happened. All kinds of stuff happened. And it seems that it has been very easy for this administration to remove that and also to denigrate black folks who have worked their behinds off to get this American dream. How do you, I mean, you know better.
Sonny, that was actually a very helpful intervention, because I think the story you're talking about is where, you know, allegedly the administration is holding back the appointments of people based on skin color.
I've
seen
this
story.
A host of things. I'm talking about black history getting erased from public spaces. Black voter districts are being dismantled. Black leaders are being sidelined from our ranks. Where do Americans of color fit in this vision? Because it doesn't seem like we fit.
And if I may, since October of last year, there's been something like 6,668 refugees allowed into the country. All but three were white South Africans.
So, first of all, I'm very skeptical of that number, because we have a lot of different immigration pathways in the United States of America. But let me just address Whoopi's point. Look, first of all, you asked the question, and maybe you don't believe this coming from me, but I think everybody is welcome in our political coalition. Frankly, even if you didn't vote for us, everybody is welcome in our country, so long as you're an American citizen with the duties and the legal obligations and rights to be here. But Whoopi, let me just give you an example of this. Okay, so you say that we're anti-minority or anti-black.
No, I didn't say that. I asked.
Well, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Fair.
Don't start any stuff with me, okay, man. Don't get me in trouble. Don't start no stuff with me. But
I misinterpreted your question, but let me answer your actual question there. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, I think, okay, look at Washington, D.C. One of the most democratic and one of the blackest, by a share of population, blackest cities in the United States of America has seen a radical decrease in violent crimes and sexual assaults and in murders. We have tried to take the crime issue seriously, in part because we believe everybody, whether you're black or white or rich or poor, deserves to live in a safe neighborhood.
Oh, okay. J.D. Vance says this, but the reality is, if you are anything but a rich white American and you are in the Epstein files, you're not going to get exposed. If you are a rich white American who commits wire fraud or manipulation in the market, you are going to get pardoned by Donald Trump. If you are a rich white American who has the means to donate $1.8 million to Trump, he will pardon you, likely pardon your family and do you favors. He's not applying this equally. He goes on The View and tries to use vaguely humanitarian rhetoric. Like when they were talking about his book, they were saying that he wants to humanize immigrants, and they were pointing out how he wrote about he doesn't like dehumanization. He says that, But then all this administration does is post AI memes dehumanizing immigrants.
That is a crime. And where does the crime step in? This is not about crime. This
black
is about
women lost their jobs.
Right. This is about human rights.
Sonny, what you're saying is black we got to do more on the economy.
Black, and black history has been erased from public spaces.
Black history
spaces.
Is not erased
that is
from
true.
Public
guys,
spaces.
We do have to get to Iran
right.
when we get back.
Yeah,
some
but,
very
but
important
guys,
news
I'm
to get
telling
to.
You, we celebrate black history. We celebrate all American history in this administration.
Can I ask
you guys
about
might be skeptical of this, but I promise you it's true.
That was a brutal, brutal interview from J.D. Vance, repeatedly stepping on the rake, screwing himself over when it pertains to the Epstein files, when he's asked about black American history, when he's asked about inflation, immigration. I'm not sure he had one really good answer that Trump will be happy with. All of his answers were those of a C-tier politician trying to run defense for his schizophrenic president. And that is basically exactly what is happening. This is a C, maybe that's even generous, like a D-tier politician skill set trying to go into a place where you need A-tier skills, S-tier skills. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, drop a like, subscribe. I love you all. Peace out.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.